Chapter 13. The Emerald Tablet. This chapter is dedicated to the Emerald Tablet, which is the only surviving genuine writing of Hermes, the founder of alchemy in this age. Hermes was called Mercury by the Romans, the messenger of the gods, and it is after Hermes that the word Mercury is used so commonly in alchemy. By the Egyptians, he was called Thoth, deity. Alchemy is also called the Hermetic art, after Hermes, and even today the term hermetically sealed can be used to describe an airtight seal, necessary in alchemy. Some believe Hermes was Noah of flood fame. Others believe he was Enoch. Regardless, Hermes was the person who carried the knowledge of the sacred sciences over the last big catastrophe to save it from destruction, which leans towards him being Noah. It was also Hermes who began the vow of secrecy, reserving alchemy only for a limited elite of the wise, but with the understanding that the secret will be released again at the end of the age. There are many legends surrounding the tablet. The name of the tablet itself comes from a legend of it being found written on a tablet made of emerald in the crypt of Hermes. Though in reality, it appears that the Emerald Tablet has been in continuous circulation, passing through the hands of the alchemists since the beginning. The Emerald Tablet itself is the central and most concise of alchemical texts, and it is also the most accurate, explaining the full theory, practice, and philosophy in just a few words. I will list 5 different translations of each line, including my own, and provide commentary. Line 1, Arabic translation. Line 2, Newton's translation. Line 3, Biedo's translation. Line 4, contemporary rendering of the Latin text. Line 5, author's translation, bold. It contains an accurate commentary that can't be doubted. 'Tis true without lying, certain most true. This is true and remote from all cover of falsehood. It is true without error, certain and most true. A fundamental truth without error, perfect and complete. This line is informing us that what is being said is a fundamental truth, not only a relative truth. Relative truths can change, such as the sky is blue. It is not always true. Fundamental truths never change, are always true, and therefore can be applied on any level or in any situation. It states, what is the above is from the below, and the below is from the above. The work of wonders is from one. That which is below is like that which is above. That which is above is like that which is below to do the miracles of one only thing. Whatever is below is similar to that which is above. Through this, the marvels of the work of one thing are procured and perfected. That which is below is as that which is above, and that which is above is as that which is below, to perform the miracles of the one thing. As above, so below, the lesser and greater. Microcosm and macrocosm, they are the same. Following this principle, all things were made from the one. There are 2 statements on this line. The first is telling us that every level follows the same fundamental principles. Things above us, macrocosms, planets, solar systems, galaxies, and things below us, microcosms, the philosopher's stone, atoms, etc., follow exactly the same principles. They may look different from our perspective, but they all operate in the same way. This is very important to understand. If you can grasp this fact, then you will start to see it everywhere. It is because of this that we know how to make the stone and why it works. On a different level, it also tells us that spirituality, philosophy, and the physical world again follow the same principles. If something is true spiritually, then it must also have a physical counterpart. There is nothing which applies to one and does not apply to the other. The second statement tells us that creation and perfection, purification, evolution, is caused by the previous statement. Things would not grow and evolve, both physically and spiritually, if it were not for the fact that each level is a mirror of all others. It tells us that this comes from one, in accordance with one. One is God. One is everything. One is nothing. One is the only thing whose existence is self-supported. The existence of everything else comes from this one, all following the same principles. One is the only thing that exists, whereas everything else is a distorted reflection of the one. And all things sprang from this essence, through a single projection. How marvelous is its work! It is the principal part of the world, and its custodian. And as all things have been arose from one, by the mediation of one, so all things have their birth from this one thing, by adaptation. Also, as all things are made from one, by the consideration of one, so all things were made from this one, by conjunction. And as all things were from the one, by means of the meditation of the one, thus all things were born from the one, by means of adaptation. And as all things arose from a thought by the one, thus all things were formed as an adaptation of the one. This is the fundamental principle. Here we are told that all things, literally everything, on every level, came from the one. It is important to also remember the previous line, that all principles apply to every level. Therefore, we know it holds true to both the spiritual and the physical. The biggest mistake of both modern science and spirituality is to assume that the two are separate. On a spiritual and philosophical level, it tells us that God created all things by adapting himself. God did not change himself, but each level below him is a distorted reflection of the level above. So all things are God by adaption. It also says that it was the meditation or thought of God which began this. It implies a single thought. You can imagine this like a ripple on the surface of a flat lake. One single movement in stillness, emptiness, creates a series of ripples, each a reflection of the former. The ripples all follow exactly the same principle, but they become distorted as they get farther away from the source. Each ripple creates the next ripple as a slightly more distorted reflection of itself. On a physical level, it tells us that everything is actually made up of the same stuff. It is interesting to note here that we have discovered this with science. Everything is made of energy. But it is not entirely obvious just by looking around you, because the physical follows the same principles as the higher existences. We must accept the existence of a physical substance, particle, which is the root of what everything is made out of. We can't just call it energy and be happy that it is only a concept. It must be physical. All spiritual things have a physical counterpart, and vice versa. This thing is the life energy I have been talking about. So this line is also telling us about the life energy, and how everything in the physical world is made from life energy by adaption. Its father is the sun, and its mother is the moon. Thus the wind bore it within it, and the earth nourished it. The sun is its father, the moon its mother. The wind hath carried it in its belly, the earth its nurse. The father of it is the sun, the mother the moon. The wind bore it in the womb. Its nurse is the earth, the mother of all perfection. Its father is the sun, its mother is the moon. The wind carried it in its belly. The nurse is the earth. Its father is the sun. Its mother is the moon. It is carried by the wind. It is nursed by the earth. Firstly, we have reference to the sun and the moon. This is clearly symbolism for the polarity of yin moon, and yang, sun. However, you should consider that the sun and moon are more important than just symbols of polarity. There is a reason why we have one sun and one moon from our perspective on Earth. It is not just chance, as science might make you believe. Again, yin-yang is a fundamental principle and therefore applies on all levels, including in this physical reality. Therefore, the moon and sun are literally physical counterparts of the yin-yang principle. It is interesting to note how the sun and moon appear to be exactly the same size when looking up at them from Earth. This is a big coincidence, if it is only a coincidence. It means that the sizes and distances of the sun and moon are in perfect harmony with each other, which could be one of the major factors which has made the conditions optimum for life on Earth in this physical plane and at this time. The sun and moon also symbolize they are literal counterparts of fire and water from the level above. Polarity again, and we are moving towards more physical symbolism, closer to our own level. These again are counterparts of the two substances from which we make the stone, now on a microcosmic level, which come themselves from one single ingredient. I hope you can see how in this manner, the theory and practice of making the stone applies on all levels, from the very physical and chemical level to the philosophical and macrocosmic spiritual level. The wind is the carrier and the distributor. It is easier to explain this to you from a one-up macrocosmic perspective, one level above us, the level of the Earth. On the Earth, we have the water cycle, where the water is evaporated and forms clouds. The clouds then rain back down onto Earth. Without this, life could not exist, because it is necessary to grow plants, which animals need to eat, or animals eat other animals who eat plants. But there is an important and often overlooked factor. Without the wind, all the water would just go up, and then come back down in the same place. This means there would be no water on the land, as it would only rain on the sea, since water on land eventually runs into the sea. In which case, there would be no life on land, and we humans would not exist. So we have wind to thank for our existence. The wind is absolutely necessary for the natural distribution of things, water, seeds, etc. This also applies to making the stone. Without the movement of the water vapor, caused by heat and cold, the process would not work. The formation of the stone is a reflection of the operation of the earth, and all other levels too. This is what I mean when I say that we must follow the guidance of nature. Just as the earth is the nurse for plants, they grow from it and are supported by it. In the same way, the earth supports and cares for us humans. In the same way, the earth is the matter which allows us to capture and contain, in a way, tame, the life energy in order to make the stone. The earth is never the active force. It is a passive, feminine, yin force. It is the matrix. Earth does not actively do anything. It only supports and nurses those that depend upon it, protecting them and lifting them up. So, Earth is truly the nurse of all things. In this physical world, the Earth is solid matter, but it has counterparts on the other levels too. Together we have fire, sun, water, moon, wind, and earth. These are the four elements. Everything is made through the actions of these four elements as they act on and move between one another, in the same way the yin and yang are always pulling back and forth. The ancients did not literally believe that everything was made of these four elements in the sense that everything is made of H2O, mud and air, as history books might tell you. These are the states of matter. Earth, water, and wind are solid, liquid and gas, and fire is heat. So, it is actually saying that everything is made of solid, liquid, gas, and heat. These are the states of matter on our physical level, with counterparts on other levels. Father of talismans and keeper of wonders, perfect in power that reveals the lights. The Father of all perfection in the whole world is here. Its force or power is entire if it be converted into earth. Its power is perfected if it is turned into earth. Its power is whole if it has been turned into earth. Its power is complete if it can be turned into earth. Here we are told that it can be perfected if it's turned into earth. This is written on physical terms, saying that if we can turn the four elements into earth, which is the element of the physical level we are in, then we will perfect it. It means the power, which I call life energy. So, if we can convert the life energy into a physical form, into earth, then we have perfected it on this level. Again, if we can turn the energy from the four elements into earth, then we will have converted and perfected the energy for use on this here physical level. It must be turned into earth if we are to use it on this level, since for a physical world we need a physical stone, which is the counterpart, reflection, of the one on this level. So you can see how the philosopher's stone is the physical manifestation of the power of God. It is a fire that became our earth. Separate the earth from the fire, and you shall adhere more to that which is subtle than that which is coarse, through care and wisdom. Separate thou the earth from the fire, the subtle from the gross, sweetly with great industry. Separate the earth from the fire, the subtle and thin from the crude and coarse, prudently, with modesty and wisdom. You will separate the earth from the fire, the subtle from the dense, sweetly, with great skill. Separate the earth from the fire, the subtle from the dense, the light from the heavy, with care and wisdom. These are direct instructions on how to actually make the stone, which of course is the same way that all things are perfected on all levels, with great care and wisdom. The wisdom is required to work out the method. You must separate the lighter particles from the denser particles. This is literally how you make the stone, as you can see in the practical instructions, particularly the first part of the great work. I will also interpret this from a spiritual perspective, just for you to see how it applies on every level. Realize which of your desires are promoting freedom and which are promoting restriction. Then separate the free from the restrictive. Focus on the free and positive desires, positive energy, good intention, and they will grow and expand, converting the remaining negative thoughts, negative energy, bad intention, into their own free, light, and positive form. I hope you can see how the same fundamental principles apply to every level, and how the stone is a real and physically obtainable substance which follows the exact same principles. It ascends from the earth to the heaven. It extracts the lights from the heights and descends to the earth, containing the power of the above and the below, for it is with the light of the lights. It ascends from the earth to the heaven. Again, it descends to the earth and receives the force of things superior and inferior. This ascends from the earth into the sky, and again descends from the sky to the earth, and receives the power and efficacy of things above and of things below. It ascends from earth into heaven, and again it descends to the earth, and receives the power of higher and of lower things. It repeatedly ascends from earth to heaven, and then descends from heaven to earth, thus receiving power from both the high and the low. Again, direct instructions for making the stone, now focusing on the second part of the practical operations. The stone is repeatedly evaporated, ascends, and condensed, descends. From this, it becomes more purified and gains power, more life energy. The repeated change of state between solid, liquid, and gas allows the substance to become purer, and it increases the amount of life energy. From a spiritual perspective, you could say that our moving between the astral and physical planes, repeatedly dying and being born again, is an example of us perfecting ourselves, following the same principles. Therefore, the darkness flees from it. By this means, ye shall have the glory of the whole world, thereby all obscurity shall fly from you. By this means, you will acquire the glory of the whole world, and so you will drive away all shadows and blindness. Thus you will have the glory of the whole world, therefore will all obscurity flee from you. Then you will have the glory of the whole world, all ignorance will flee from you. This is saying, firstly, that you will have the glory of the whole world, which is the highest honor in the physical world, the philosopher's stone, which is the physical counterpart of the power of God. Secondly, all obscurity or ignorance will flee from you. This applies, of course, on every level. It means that you will now understand so much about the workings of nature and no longer be ignorant, and new knowledge will come to you easily. It will be easy for you to see the truth from the lies. It also means, from the physical standpoint of making the stone, that once past a certain point of purity, the stone will very quickly be able to become more pure. Once it gets past a tipping point, the stone will convert impurity into its own pure form, as opposed to being diluted or corrupted by any dense or impure particles. Exponential development. The greatest power overcomes everything that is subtle, and it penetrates all that is coarse. Its force is above all force, for it vanquishes every subtle thing and penetrates every solid thing. For this, by its fortitude, snatches the palm from all other fortitude and power, for it is able to penetrate and subdue everything subtle and everything crude and hard. Of all strength, this is true strength, because it will conquer all that is subtle and penetrate all that is solid. It is true force and the most powerful, for it conquers all subtle things and penetrates all solid things. The stone will convert all subtle and undetermined things into its own form, and for solid, determined things, it will penetrate them and bring them towards their true perfection. This is why it will protect a life form from decay, and it will turn any metal into gold. It penetrates all things and encourages them to reach their full potential. Again, it is the manifestation of the power of God in a physical form. Line not present in Arabic translation. So was the world created. By this means the world was founded. Thus was the world created. This is how the world was made. The world was made following these exact same principles, as were all worlds, planes, universes, and realities. The formation of the microcosm is in accordance with the formation of the macrocosm. From this are and do come admirable adaptations whereof the means or process is here in this. And hence the marvelous conjunctions of it and admirable effects, since this is the way by which these marvels may be brought about. From this were wonderful adaptations, of which this is the means. Each level is a reflection of the one above. The microcosm is in accordance with the macrocosm. Now you know how all things are made through adaption from the one. All things, all matter, all worlds, all frequencies, all universes, all planes are adaptions of the same thing, following the same principles. It starts with the one, and from there each level is a distorted reflection, an adaptation of the same thing, each level being a reflection of the level above. This is how all things are made. This is why the physical world exists. This is what it is. This is what all things are. The scholars made this their path. This is why thrice Hermes was exalted with wisdom. Hence I am called Hermes Trismegist, having the three parts of the philosophy of the whole world. And because of this, they have called me Hermes Trismegistus, since I have the three parts of the wisdom and philosophy of the whole universe. Therefore am I named thrice great Hermes, having the three parts of the philosophy of the whole world. This is the path of knowledge. Hence I am Hermes, thrice great, having three parts of the philosophy of the whole world. Alchemy is the path of knowledge, one of the more difficult paths to enlightenment, reserved for the wise and intellectual. Traditionally that was so, but now is the time of alchemy. Hermes is thrice great, three times great, because he was the custodian of the three sacred sciences, alchemy, astrology, and geometry. The three sacred sciences are all related to each other, of course, since like everything else, they follow the same principles. This is his last book that he hid in the catacomb. That which I have said of the operation of the sun is accomplished and ended. My speech is finished, which I have spoken concerning the solar work. It is finished, what I have said about the working of the sun. I have said all that is needed concerning the operation of the sun. According to Hermes, this should be all that is necessary to fully understand. That is, assuming you already have a good understanding of philosophical principles. I hope that my commentary has helped you to understand the Emerald Tablet and see the truth of alchemy. It is the operation of the sun, because the sun is a level above us and a symbol for the stone. The same principles apply on every level. Quote, from the Emerald Tablet by Hermes, translated by author. A fundamental truth, without error, perfect and complete. As above, so below, the lesser and greater, microcosm and macrocosm, they are the same. Following this principle, all things were made from the One. And as all things arose from a thought by the One, thus all things were formed as an adaptation of the One. This is the fundamental principle. Its father is the sun. Its mother is the moon. It is carried by wind. It is nursed by earth. Its power is complete if it can be turned into earth. Separate the earth from the fire, the subtle from the dense, the light from the heavy, with care and wisdom. It repeatedly ascends from earth to heaven, and then descends from heaven to earth, thus receiving power from both the high and the low. Then you'll have the glory of the whole world. All ignorance will flee from you. It is true force and the most powerful, for it conquers all subtle things and penetrates all solid things. This is how the world was made. Each level is a reflection of the one above. The microcosm is in accordance with the macrocosm. Now you know how all things are made through adaptation from the One. This is the path of knowledge. Hence I am Hermes, thrice great, having three parts of the philosophy of the whole world. I have said all that is needed concerning the operation of the sun. End quote.